Welcome back to our Psalms of History series that correlates with our Harmony of the Histories studies that we're doing on Sunday mornings. We're looking at a period of David's life, 1 Samuel 18, 19, 20, a period where David is coming off a great victory over Goliath, but he's yet to have to go out on a run, He's yet to reach this conflict with King Saul where his life is in jeopardy and he has to flee. So he's in this time period where he's got his best friend, Jonathan. He's an advisor to King Saul. He's married the king's daughter. He is leading men into battle. He's still the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's still playing the harp for King Saul when these distressing spirits would come upon him. And yet it's very clear that this conflict between David and Saul is really, it's reaching ahead. Anytime the king is throwing spears at you on multiple occasions and threatening your life and then issuing edicts to all of the servants of the palace to kill you, like things are dicey and you're in a tough spot when your wife has to lie so that you can slip out at night and save yourself from assassins. I mean, this is a time period for David where he's trying to stay true to his king. He's trying to be faithful as a servant of his king. At the same time, he's got this calling. He knows he'll be the next king over Israel. God has anointed him. So there's a lot of this conflict, this tension. Have you ever found yourself in conflict and tension? I think so much of life is a measure of conflict and tension. And yet there are, I think, two psalms in particular that we can really attribute to this period of David's life of conflict, of tension, where he's dealing with kind of disappointment. Like, he's done nothing wrong against Saul. He's not offended the king. He's just been obedient. He took a step of faith. He slew Goliath, and as a result of his faithful service, Saul is filled with jealousy, with rage, with anger. Again, David's done nothing wrong, and yet he's getting the vitriol, the venom, this poison flowing out of Saul's heart, his suspicions that David is trying to take the throne and undermine, all these things not true. And yet David is dealing, I think, with some real disappointment. Psalms 11, it's a great example, I think, of a psalm maybe David wrote during this time period. He begins, he says, "In the Lord I put my trust." What a demonstrable statement right off the bat. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of questioning, in the midst of maybe even your circumstances causing a measure of doubt, he declares right from the beginning, the psalmist of his, in my Lord, I put my trust. "How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. And the foundations are, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Again, the conflict, "I've done nothing wrong. I've been righteous. I've handled myself honorably." Again, you know, it's worth noting, and we pointed this out, that on two occasions, Saul has thrown spears at David. And in those occasions, David has gone back to play the harp for Saul when he's encountering these distressing spirits. It'll be a third time that David will again have a spear thrown at him. And in all three instances, David could have very easily picked up the spear and thrown it right back, but he doesn't. He's battling with "Saul's the Lord's anointed, and I've got this calling, and God's in control, and he's sovereign, and I've got to handle myself right, but the guy that I'm trying to submit to is out to get me. And yet again, I trust not in Saul, I trust not in circumstance. I trust in the Lord that is trustworthy. The Lord," he says, verse 4, "is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup." Again, David, in this situation, he reminds himself who the Lord is that he trusts. This is the God of heaven. This is the God who sees all, who rewards and judges and protects and defends and avenges. He closes this very short psalm. He says, for the Lord is righteous. The Lord's right. And everything that the Lord does, if the Lord has you in a situation where you are receiving the praises of men, for David did receive the praises of men, the songs being sung that David has slain his 10,000s and Saul's his 1,000s, a song so popular it even makes its way to Philistine territories, is the same God that is also sovereign and allows spears, that God is in control of it all. The Lord is right. He's righteous. That's what the word righteous means. He's right. In everything that the Lord does, he's right. The Lord's never wrong. The Lord always handles us in the right way. That's what he's reminding himself. The Lord loves righteousness. He loves those that also obey and behave rightly. Righteousness. His countenance, God's countenance, beholds the upright. Again, this thought that comes back to his mind, that settles his soul. I trust the Lord, but I know the Lord sees, and everything that he does in my life is filtered through his righteousness. And that God, when it's all, he will, his countenance, he looks upon us, he looks upon him favorably. What David is going through, while it's hard and it's frustrating and it's difficult, God still has a plan and a purpose behind it. Another psalm that I think definitely comes from this particular period of his life is Psalms 59. In fact, the subscript to the psalm, it reads, to the chief musician set to Do Not Destroy, probably a common melody of the day. A miktam of David, when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. We looked at this past Sunday, but during all of this conflict, Saul sends men to assassinate David, to bring David so that Saul could kill him. They come to his home, the home that him and his new bride, Michael, is sharing. Michael has gotten word of Saul's plot, and so Michael decides, like, hey, David, you need to flee. You need to run. She lets him down out of the window. When the assassins come, she makes up an excuse that David is sick. She takes an idol and puts it in the bed, puts some hair on it, makes it look like David's laying there. The men go back to Saul and they say, Saul, he's sick. We should get him tomorrow. Again, with someone was sick, you stayed away. And Saul's like, hey, go get him. And if you got to bring his bed to me, bring the bed. Again, it's during this, David gets let out the window. He flees out into the wilderness. He escapes by the skin of his teeth. There with uncertainty, questioning, frustration, he pins this particular psalm. He sings, he says, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. There's the appeal. Lord, you've got to intervene. You've got to step in. You've got to save. For look, he says to God, for look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression nor my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. He's acknowledging I'm being treated unfairly. I'm getting a bad rap. I'm being treated in a way that it's not okay. I've done nothing wrong, God. It's not as though that they're here to arrest me, to kill me because I've transgressed or I've sinned or I've wronged the king in some way. No, I'm being treated unfairly. Have you ever been treated unfairly? You've ever been treated in such a way that it was wrong, that you were getting the raw deal? He declares, awake to help me, again to the Lord, and behold, you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. Have you ever felt like God was asleep? never perceive or conclude that the inactivity of God is an indication or evidence that God is somehow unaware of your situation or he's unaware of your circumstance. Like David, again, this is a song he's singing, a song that becomes popular. It's in scripture because it's so relevant, but he's reminding him, he's appealing to God. God, intervene. I'm in a tough spot. Deliver me. Awake. Help me. He says, at evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. Again, David's probably hiding out. They're searching for David. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their hips. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you. O you, his strength. And then again, he's resolving within himself. He's coming to his conclusions. He says, for God, this declaration, God is my defense. I've done nothing wrong. And again, David's not trying to defend himself, but God will defend him. God, you are my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. You're not going to leave me alone. You're going to intervene. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. And then he says, do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for the cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth, Selah. Consider, think about, kind of a musical interlude, a little jam session between verses. He says, verse 14, and at evening they return. They growl like a dog. They go around the city. Again, he's repeating a phrase. So, you know, there's a familiar aspect, refrain within the chorus here of this particular song. He adds, they wander up and down for food and howl as if they are not satisfied. But in context to that, verse 16, he closes. He says, but I? They're going to do what they're going to do. And God, you'll do what you're going to do. And I trust you. Defend me, awaken, intervene. But I, what will I do when I'm being treated unfairly? What will I do when I'm being treated unjustly? What will I do when I'm being lied about or slandered against? I mean, Saul is accusing David of treason. He's done nothing wrong. He didn't anoint himself the next king. God did. What will David do in the midst of this circumstance? He says, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Maybe David, he writes the first half of this song while he's on the run. And once he gets away and once he realized the dogs have been called out, he has a moment, he can exhale. And he's reminding himself, God, you're good. I will sing of you, your power, of your mercy. You're my defense. You're my refuge in the day of trouble. And then he closes. He says, to you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy. That's such a hard thing, isn't it? To praise God when we're being treated unfairly. I think of all human experiences, you know, when we're being treated a certain way, and we deserve it, where we know we've said something, we've hurt someone, we've caused harm, we've acted the fool, and we're getting all of this stuff coming back towards us. But it's like, yeah, I deserve this. Like, I think as long as we feel as though that I'm getting a fair deal, there's a measure of just within humanity, being treated fairly, even if I'm being treated terribly, but at least I'm getting what I deserve. I can cope with it. I can rationalize it. I can come to terms with it. But it's why I think scriptures really are anti-karma. Karma, you know, you put good out, good comes back. But what if you're putting good out and bad comes back? Unfairness. That's what we struggle with. And yet David has to remind himself of bigger realities. To you, you're my strength, and I will sing praise. For God, you're my defense, my God of mercy. God, you'll take care of me. If you enjoyed these Psalms, I encourage you to check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. Not only can you stay current with our Harmony of the Histories series, but you can also access all of these videos and the audio files that go with them, these Psalms of Histories, these songs that relate to different experiences of David's life as they occur in real time.